Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller shares for a sermon topic, The Reasonable Act of Worship, based on Romans chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 51. Our radio broadcast this morning is being sponsored in remembrance of Lester and Louise Harms' 75th wedding anniversary. That was on August 27. We thank their children, Kathy and Bill Taylor, Jim and Debbie Harms, Alan.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be with all of you here this morning, and a special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us, especially everyone who is here in connection with the baptism of Amelia just later on in the service. It's good to be with all of you, and it's great to have you, and we pray that you can join us again in the future. We are so thankful that God continues to bless His church and to continue to grow it and to call people into it through the waters of baptism. And so we have just a wonderful God who is worthy of all praise. And may we sing our praise to Him now using the words of our first hymn, 851. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the baptismal party to join me around the font. Dearly beloved, the Word of God teaches that we are conceived and born sinful. We are all born under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sins of the world. He has declared that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Saint Peter, after his Pentecost sermon, said in Acts chapter 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The promise of God is also given in Galatians, where Paul says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And finally, St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." This morning, Amelia is being brought before the Lord in the waters of baptism to receive these many gracious promises from God. So Amelia, receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ Jesus our Lord. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors and witnesses for baptismal recipients. Parents and sponsors, it is your privilege to confess with the church the faith which we share in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Amelia is baptized into God's holy family, You are at all times to remember her in your prayers, to remind her of her baptism, and as you are able, give your counsel and aid so that she may be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God. As she grows in years, you are to see that she is taught and instructed in the Christian faith according to the small catechism. And may you place in her hands the Holy Scriptures. May you bring her to the services of God's house and encourage her in the faithful reception of Christ's body and blood, that she may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of God. And so for you sponsors, will you do this with a joyful and willing spirit? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Do you want to hold Amelia? Want me to? Amelia Claire Kincaid, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace of God keep you strong in the faith until He calls you home. You can go in His peace. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I present to you our newest member in the faith, Amelia Claire Kincaid. Can we show our appreciation to God? The congregation has a few gifts they'd like to present to you. First, the baptismal cloth to remind her of the robe of Christ's righteousness that she was baptized into, that God has covered her in His own righteousness. Secondly, we have the cross to remind her of the Redeemer and what Jesus has done for her and for His sake, giving His life for her. And then lastly, we have her baptismal certificate listing the day and time and location of her baptism. Would the congregation please stand for a word of prayer? Lord, we thank and praise you for granting Amelia the new birth and holy baptism and making her an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We implore you to enable and empower these parents to live lives of love, faith, and righteousness for their children to see and hear. By your grace, lead this family in loving service to you here on earth and finally to your home in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we remain standing for the introit. You may return to your seats. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards them who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn, and the quarry from which you are dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapters 11 and 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. And the one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message. To be with all of you today. You know why? Today, this morning was a very special morning. Do you know why it was such a special morning? Do you know what me and the family did up here when we gathered around the font? Do you know what we did? Okay, yeah, so a baby was born, not just physically, but in a spiritually. We had a baby born right before our eyes. That was such a wonderful thing, such an incredible thing that God is doing, that we gather around the font to baptize, right? That is how God brings us into the family of God. Do you know what baptism is? What is baptism? You have an idea? Oh. Yeah, so baptism, this is where we come before the font, where God uses water and his word. He puts his name in the water, and that water gets poured all over us. And what God is doing is he is putting his name upon us. He is marking us as one of his own, and he's washing us clean. Not just physically clean, but again, he's washing us spiritually. He's washing us away from sin. He's taking all of these bad things away from us that we can have eternal life, that he brings us into his family. Well, I need a volunteer. I want somebody to count the number of sides that are on our baptismal font. Caden, can you count how many sides are on this font here? You might have to stand up. You want to come up here? Or we can count together if you want. Or if you all want to stand up, that would be great. So we're going to start right here, all right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 sides. Why the number 8? Do you think that was done on purpose? Or do you think that was an accident? Well, let's think about this. We see 7 a lot in the Scriptures, right? Where's the first time? Do you know how many days it took took God to create the heavens and the earth? 8. It actually took 7. God did all of his creating, and then he rested on the 7th day. But actually, we put 8 sides on the baptismal font to remind us that God has not finished his creating work. That when we come to the waters of baptism, God is still creating life, spiritual life. He's still creating a family. He's creating a people to be his, a people who he can love and bring to himself. So again, the waters of baptism, we have 8 sides here to remind us that God is always working. Even still, he's creating joy in all of our hearts, and he is always going to be with us forever. Well, can we say a word of prayer? Will you join me? My Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for always loving us, for continuing to create a life and salvation in us. We thank you for washing us clean and always being with us. We ask that you would give us this joy and this peace, that we can live in love towards you and one another. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can go back to your seat. I do have a piece of candy over there for you. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. Read our epistle reading this morning. We are nearing the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. There's just a few chapters left now, and up until this point, Paul has just been spelling out the doctrine of the Christian faith. Up to this point, he's talked about the sinfulness of man, the sovereignty of God. He's expounded upon the mercy and goodness of the Lord. And most recently, he's gone over just how faithful and changeless God is. How he's perpetually working all things together for good, and of his desire to save both Jews and Gentiles. But now, we watch as Paul just can't keep it in any longer. For in his heart and his soul, that is, his entire inward being, there is a bursting within him at the seams. He can't seem to keep it in any longer, but he jumps into a doxology. And out of his mouth comes the overflow of his heart. We see him singing a song to praise and magnify the Lord. Oh, the depths, he says, of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Doxology, or songs of praise, is a natural response of truly meditating upon God. And I hope and I pray, dear friends, that you would know this for yourselves, of what it means to be led in an excess of wonder to praise the Lord. For upon meditating upon God's goodness, praise should be natural. Adoration is to be a second language for the Christian. And if that's not the case, then there's something lacking in our spiritual lives. For either we aren't meditating properly, or we aren't diving deep into God's truth, or else our view of God is just too small. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast about a scuba diver. And he was talking about his experience of diving at a particular place called Crystal Cave. And as the name suggests, this cave is full of crystals. And no joke, this cave's walls and ceilings and floors are all covered in crystals. Some of them were small, but then there were crystals that were massive, spanning from the ceiling to the floor. And when he got to this specific room, he explains how he literally started to cry. He says that he had never seen something so beautiful in his life. And he was amazed at how so much beauty could be concentrated in one place. He makes it sound so incredible, and I have no doubt that it is. But then, you know, the thought occurred to me that as Christians, we ought to experience that feeling every week. This guy was trying to say something profound, seeing something so beautiful that he was led to cry. But that should be an everyday occurrence for the church and for Christians. Watch as Paul was constantly led to burst out in praise at any time that he wrote about and talked about God. I looked up the statistics this last week. There are at least 28 doxologies that are recorded in the New Testament. And in Paul's epistles, you can find 11 of these songs of praise. And so many of them just seem to appear at random times. I don't think we realize, though, of how common they really are. But Paul can be talking and talking, and then all of a sudden, it seems like he's just bursting out of nowhere into a song of praise. But truly, Paul wasn't the only one either. But we also find these doxologies doxologies in the writings of John and Peter and Luke. In fact, in almost every New Testament writer, they are led to include a doxology somewhere in their letters. For meditation, dear friends, naturally leads to worship. Praising God is the natural response after being confronted with God's perfection. And I pray that you would find yourselves to be following in Paul's example, that we would all meditate upon the beauty and power, upon the grace and knowledge and wisdom of God, and that we wouldn't ever leave our prayer closets until we are left amazed, perplexed even, at the wonder and beauty that exists in the one person of God Almighty. Dear friends, don't leave and don't stop chewing upon the words of God until you are naturally led to glorify His holy name. Because truly, doxology, praise, it's so natural that even the heavens do it. As David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Doxology and praise is so natural that Jesus said that if the disciples were to have kept quiet, that the very stones would have cried out. Songs, praise, and prayers ought to always be upon the lips of God's people. And see how Paul bursts into the song in verse 33, saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and inscrutable are His ways." Or as one of my favorite hymns goes, "Oh love, how broad, how deep, how high, how vast beyond all thought and fantasy." Or as Isaiah puts it, how God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are His ways our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His thoughts higher than our thoughts, and His ways our ways. Our God is so grand that our minds aren't even able to fully comprehend the Lord. Sure, He's revealed Himself as a God of mercy. We know that He is a God of infinitely good. We know He's a God of infinitely perfection. He's infinitely beautiful and gracious and patient and righteous. And yet there's no way that we can actually comprehend these things. The deeper we dive into these truths, the more we realize how little we know about the Lord. And the more we meditate upon them, the more we will say, along with Paul, that I only know in part. For if God was a God that we could fully comprehend, He would not be a God worthy of our praise. Paul's doxologies, it goes on for a few more verses, but it concludes then in verse 36 saying, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory. Amen." There's again so much wrapped up in those words. And that is, all things are from God as their source. All things are through God as their means. And they are to Him as their end. Or to put it another way, all things are from God as their origin. They come about through God, and their completion is in God. Here we see that God is at the very center of everything. That is all things that pertains to creation and everything that pertains to salvation. The Lord is at the center of it all. All things, when we look at creation, we know creation can only be all from God. They are from Him in the sense that there was no one to give the Lord counsel. There was no one to give Him the first thought to ever create. There was no one there at the beginning of time to influence Him, but God stood alone in eternity past. And it was in infinite wisdom alone that He brought forth the plan of creation. Creation itself is from the Lord in this sense. But it is just as much through Him as well. For only He and He alone brought it about. We think about the early universe, and there was no matter from which to form the world out of. There was no raw material from which He could use to create the earth. There wasn't even any time. There wasn't any space which would serve as the stage. But out of nothing, God just spoke, and all of these things came about. And truly, they are to Him for His glory. We are told all things are to Him. The whole reason for our existence, the whole reason for creation, is to magnify God's name. Therefore, all things are from Him and through Him and to Him. But what is true for the material world, that is true for spiritual things as well. Your own spiritual life. Dear friends, it fits into this formula. Your own salvation is from God. It is through God, and it is to God. Why am I saved is a question that ought to be regularly asked by ourselves. Because it certainly wasn't any inherent goodness that you could find in me. There is no superiority in my nature. I like the guy who once asked how he came to be saved. He replied pretty tongue-in-cheek. He said, "Well, God did His thing, and I did all the rest." And when he asked to explain himself, he said, "Well, God did everything, and I just got in the way." I love that response because truly, the only thing we contribute to our salvation is getting in the way. By nature, all we do is reject. All we do is fight against, push back against the Lord. We are by nature at enmity with God. Salvation can only be from God, for there's nothing in me that can pull it out of it. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Who can make a new heart come out of an old one? Who can bring life out of death, or a spirit out of flesh? Lest you be tempted that it was yourself through faith, I ask you, where did that saving faith come from? Is it not all the working of the Holy Spirit? Was it not the Spirit who puts the spiritual seed within you, putting that spark of life inside of you to receive this life from God? Truly, salvation, like creation itself, from beginning to end, is all from the Lord. And so I reason with you, dear friends, last of all, if you are saved, if you are God's child, if you are a Christian from God and through God, I pray that you may be a Christian to God's glory, that the whole whole of your life would be to the Lord. Because that is where Paul goes in verse 1 of the next chapter, saying, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Other translations say, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, for that is your reasonable act of worship. Seeing the work and mercies of God, it is all but reasonable then to live to Him. All things are from Him and through Him, and so to be to Him is logical. That is the sole purpose of our lives, the whole reason for our salvation, to bring glory to God. That is reasonable. For if the Lord has loved us since before the world began, if He called us in eternity past, if He has sent His Son to die for us before mothers even knew us, if He came to save us without our asking or prompting, shedding His blood to redeem us, imputing His righteousness to us in baptism, if we are what we are from Him and through Him, let us live then to His glory. For there is no other thing under heaven which brings purpose and meaning to our lives. Truly that, living for His glory, is the only thing that truly matters, because the world is passing away. We only have a few short years to serve God. The world is soon going to be judged with fire, and only that which is done for the Lord will last. It's reasonable, beloved, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice for God. Jesus, He offered Himself as a whole burnt offering upon the cross. Jesus was a sacrifice put to death for you. He was entirely consumed by the Father's wrath, and for your sakes was Jesus consumed in the anguish of suffering. And so it's reasonable that we would be living sacrifices, to live for His sake, as He so lived and died and continues to live today for ours. And so may we meditate, dear friends, upon the infinite mercies of God, and may we be led to an overflow of wonder and praise to the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, you are wonderful and you are worthy of praise. We ask that you would lead us to see your glory and lead us into a deeper understanding of who you are and what you have done for us. Help us to meditate upon your truths. Put within us a hungering and thirsting for knowing you. Help us not to go through the motions with our faith. Help us not to think shallowly about it and to put it aside. But lead us, Father, to dive deep and to meditate upon your truth, upon your love, your power, your mercy and righteousness. Open our hearts and eyes so that we may be overcome with wonder and awe for who you are, and so that we may be led naturally just to praise you and to live for your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You have created us, and you have further purchased us, making us your own. We glorify your holy name for rescuing us from the power of sin and death. Thank you for delivering us from the hand of the devil. And as you have for our sakes done amazing things, lead us likewise to live gracious lives in return. May our lives be pleasing to you. May we live lives worthy of being called your children. And lead your people to love and sacrifice their fleshly desires so that we may live for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord of the nations, you order all things well. And as all things are from you and through you and to you, let your name be glorified in all the earth. Reveal to us your patience, your mercy, and your justice. Whether good or bad, use all things for your glory. Use us and your church to spread your life-giving message to the communities around us and around the world. Be with missionaries, pastors, and all congregation members to carry your word with them upon their lips. Lead us to share your message with those around us. Give us all boldness and confidence. Give us opportunity to engage in conversation wherein we can share your hope that you have put within us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician. We humbly ask for you to take care of those hurting in mind, body, and spirit. Especially we ask that you would be with your children and the people of this congregation and its friends and family, with those struggling with spiritual warfare, for those who are feeling lost or lonely, for those who are hurting from life's pains in the body. We ask that you would be with these, your people, Lord. Grant them strength, life, and victory, that they may live in the power of the gospel, to face all life's trials with patience, with faith, and trust. We pray especially for Carrie Higgins, for Randy, for Cora Lee, for Louise, Kenny, and Jerry, for our shut-ins and nursing home residents. Lord, you know the needs of all your people. Lead us to glorify you in all situations as you uphold us with the power of your grace. And give your people hope to live confidently in the meantime until you call us home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 790.